Over the next number of weeks, we're going to be looking into the book of Joshua. Joshua is the sixth book in the Old Testament. I'm going to start reading from Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. And it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you will be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.'" And I am calling this series that we're going to be looking into in the book of Joshua over the next number of weeks, Transition, Entering into Your Inheritance. You know, Joshua is a transitional book between what has gone on before and what is to come after. The previous five books of Moses in the Old Testament are all about events that prepare the people of God to enter, occupy, and live in the land God has set apart for them. The completion of the entry into the land of Canaan comes here in the book of Joshua, when the children of Israel finally come to occupy the land. Canaan is the place God directed Abraham to, and where God promised Abraham he would make him into a great nation, and that nation would be a blessing to the whole world. The books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy all record the events of the 40-year period of Israel's wanderings in the wilderness after their deliverance of 430 years living in Egypt. And for most of that time, they were slaves of the Egyptians. They got to Egypt because of a famine in Canaan, and they went to Egypt looking for food and ended up being there 430 years, which, well, that's a very long time. Then following the book of Joshua, the rest of the Old Testament is the story of Israel's life in the land of Canaan and what happens to them when they are rebellious and turn their backs on God. You know, in very simple terms, and I like simple, basically the Old Testament story is the story of keeping three important purposes of God together. They are keeping the right people in the right place for the right purpose. The right people in the wrong place cannot fulfill the right purpose. So in Egypt, we have the right people, but they're in the wrong place. And the right people in the right place, if they lose the right purpose, will end up becoming disjointed, frustrated, and defeated. And as we come to the book of Joshua, we find it is a time of transition. Moses has just died, and they've come to the border of the promised land of Canaan, and Joshua is now the new leader of the people. Canaan was now occupied by seven nations that had moved into and settled into the territory which was Israel's inheritance. The wrong people were in the right place. So the right people had to get the wrong people out so the right people could occupy the right place for the right purpose. And as God said to Joshua in verse 6, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them." This was Israel's inheritance. You know, more than 50 times in the book of Joshua, God speaks of Canaan as being their inheritance. They were to enter into their inheritance that was being given to them by God. And the book of Joshua is not just about entering into and possessing the land. The land was basically a means to an end. For God had called Israel to himself. And from that, they were to be a blessing to the whole world. From Israel would come the Messiah, the Anointed One, Jesus the Christ. And ultimately, because of Jesus, well, we're gathered today, thousands of years later, because of the blessing of God's Son coming to this world to seek and to save lost people. You see, Israel was to have this living relationship with God that would be the source of blessing to everyone, to the world. But the challenge that follows is that once the right people got into the right place, it was now keeping the right purpose before them, which is actually the story of the rest of the Old Testament. And as we dig into the book of Joshua, you'll see that in so many ways, in so many of these Old Testament stories, what we have are pictures of the Christian experience. These stories are recorded to help guide us and show us the way through life. As Christians, we too have an inheritance that we are to enter into and enjoy. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13 says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory." You know, when you receive Christ, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. He comes and he enters into your life and he has sealed you. You are forever his, and the Holy Spirit is the down payment guaranteeing our inheritance from God. But this is not just for the future. There is more you are to enjoy right here and now. You are to experience right now in life. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul writes to the Colossians saying, "Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." Yes, some of the inheritance is future, and we will not receive it until we have left this world and entered heaven and are in the presence of God. But there are aspects of the inheritance that are for the very present time and moment. We are increasingly to enjoy these inheritances that God has given to us right here and now. Paul, again, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints." This is God's inheritance for us right now. There are so many truths and principles and examples from these Old Testament stories that help teach us what the New Testament speaks about as we enter into the inheritance we now have in Jesus Christ. As the book of Joshua opens, Joshua is being commissioned to take over the leadership of Israel from Moses, who had just died. This was not done by a vote. It was not done as to who the people wanted. Nor did Joshua apply for the job and put himself forward saying, "I'm the best qualified to take over from Moses." God had raised up Joshua to lead the people. Joshua was God's man, and his whole life had been a preparation for such a time as this. Do you realize that your whole life has been a preparation for such a time as this? You know, your past matters. Back to verse 1. We read there, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide. Did you catch that before? Joshua was Moses' aide. Joshua had been Moses' aide during the previous 40 years in the wilderness. God had been preparing Joshua for this very moment. Through the battles and the discouragements and the victories and the disappointments and all the ups and the downs in life. You know, nothing in our life is ever wasted by God. Every event and challenge we face in life is an opportunity for God to be at work, molding us and building us and working in us to become His people, His chosen people, His royal priesthood. You know, in the good and the bad, God is at work if we love Him, if we trust Him, if we're called according to His purpose. Paul said that in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for good, for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. You know, from his past, Joshua had learned how to face the battles of life. Let me give you a couple examples. There's lots we could have choose from, but I've kind of narrowed it down to our time today to just two. In Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8, we read the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men to go out and fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." I wonder what Joshua thought when Moses said that. You know, Joshua, you go and choose some men and you go down and you face the Amalekites. I'm going to go up on the hill with the staff of God and I'm going to watch from up there. I wonder what Joshua thought of all that. You know, the children of Israel, they just come out of 400 years of slavery. Prior to that, they had been herdsmen. They were shepherds. They had wandered in as nomads through the desert looking for enough vegetation for their animals to eat. They were not soldiers. And now here is the first battle that they've come to face. And Moses says to Joshua, "You gather together some men." I wonder what they had as fighting weapons. Was it their shepherd's crooks? Well, they left those years ago because they had been now slaves for so many years. And here's Joshua. He gathers together a few of his men. He's to face the Amalekites. And Moses, he goes up on the mountain with the staff of God. And Aaron and Hur go with him. You know, one of the things we realize here is many people that are prayer warriors. You think, oh, gee, well, what's the point of that? You know, it's hard work to pray and to trust God and to look to God and to seek God. And here's Moses on top of this mountain with Aaron and Hur. You read that as he stretched out the staff of God in his arms, the children of Israel, the Israelites and Joshua, they were defeating the Amalekites. And then you can imagine Moses' arms get tired. And he gets tired and he just wants to kind of fall down. You know, many times we're like that, aren't we? Through the things in life, we get tired and we just go, I'm so exhausted, I'm so tired, and I want to have a rest. And as Moses would let down the staff of God, the Amalekites, they would be forcing in on the Israelites and they would be pushing in on them. You can almost see Aaron and Hur looking down going, oh no, Moses, you look. And Moses would raise the staff of God again and Joshua and the men would push the Amalekites back. And this went on all day. As a matter of fact, we read that Aaron and Hur, they found a big rock and they brought it and they propped Moses up against it so he had something to kind of lean against. And one stood on one side of Moses and one on the other and they helped hold up his arms. You know, it's wonderful to have people with you to be able to help you, to assist you, to help in this battle that's going on. You know, the spiritual battle is very much as real as the physical battle. And it takes its toll, and there's a struggle that goes on there, and it's tiring. As you seek to call out to God and seek God as to what happens in all of this. And as the battle raged on, by evening, by nightfall, Joshua and his men, they had become victorious over the Amalekites. And you know, you've got to ask, well, what was God teaching them? What was God teaching all of them at this time? You know, the lesson that they had to learn was you have to fight. There are battles you have to fight, but the battle belongs to the Lord. Yes, you're involved in it, but it isn't you that does it. It's the Lord that does it. And as you read on further in that chapter, in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 14, we read, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Write this on a scroll as something to remember.'" They were never to forget what God had done at this time. "And make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." And Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." In the King James, they still use the Hebrew title, Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah the Lord, Nissi the banner. The Lord was their banner. The Lord is our banner. God is the God who gives victory over the battles that we face in our lives. You know, these words parallel very much along the lines of what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Paul encouraged the people, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power." It is in His power that we're to be strong in, not in our power, not in our might, not in our wisdom, but in God's. It is God that you seek. The key is God. It is God who has done it. It is God who gives the victory. It is God who leads us. Now, back to Joshua and verse 3. God had said to Joshua, "I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, and all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west." How did Joshua know that would be true? Joshua knew because he had experienced the power of God in the past. His experience with the battle with the Amalekites was something he needed to remember and hold on to, and remember that throughout his life. It is God who brings the victory. Joshua had experienced the power of God. He'd experienced the truth of the Word of God. And to not trust God now would be total disobedience. You know, have you experienced God do great things in your life? And yet now you face another battle. You want to do it on your own, or you want to do things differently. How God has worked in your past, you need to hold on to and remember what He has done to give you the faith to keep moving forward to the future. And if Joshua had not believed God's word at that time, he would have been totally disobedient, because he'd experienced God. He had known the power of God. He had known the truth of the Word of God. You know, another example where Joshua is being prepared is in Exodus 33. And in verse 7, we read, "Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to his tent. And the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. And then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent." Why would Joshua not leave the tent? Because Joshua wanted to meet with God himself. Joshua longed for the same kind of intimacy with God that Moses had with God, that they spoke face to face as a friend to a friend. The key to Moses' life was God was with him. And Joshua saw that, and he wanted that for himself. Seeking and experiencing the presence of God. You know, as you do that and you seek the presence of God, your faith grows for the battles ahead, as you know that God is with you. And God said to Joshua in verse 5, "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Joshua had experienced and knew from the battles that he had encountered that God would deliver and his presence was sufficient. You know, God's word to Joshua in verse 9 was, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." You know, we as a congregation of God's people here in Cumberland are in a time of transition. I'm here as a transition pastor as we seek the Lord's guidance and direction as to who the next lead pastor is that God has for us. Who is it that God is raising up? You know, we're also in a time of transition as we come out of COVID. And what are things going to look like in the next days and weeks and months and maybe even years ahead? We all long for things to go back to the way they were, but maybe things will never go back to the way they were. And there's a transition happening here, and God is calling us to something new and more that we're to follow him into. You know, we are in a time of transition as we seek God's direction in ministering to this community. We're in a time of transition as we need people right now to step up and step into new opportunities of ministry in this body of believers. You know, as you look at it, it's not too unlike the book of Joshua. And as we seek the Lord and his direction and his will, his word to us today, just as it was in Joshua's day, just as God said to Joshua, he says to us today, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are over all and in control of all. It is in you that we trust. We know this is a time of transition for this local church. And we, even though we are few in number and the task of ahead of us is large, we look to you, Jesus, to show us the way and to be powerfully at work in our lives and in this church. Lord, that we would radiate you to the community around, that we would be a lighthouse in this community of your grace and goodness and love. I pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.